Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Western Pennsylvania has produced and been the home of many great people that have made their mark in the game of football. In this episode, we'll discuss one of them and legendary quarterback Dan Marino and his exploits and biography in the game of football. His story coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And as we go into this weekend, you know, we have the NFL draft taking place here in 2022. And, you know, the USFL is in full swing, the second rendition of the USFL. And all kinds of football talk is all around us. But we're glad that you joined us here for a little bit of great football history. And what is better in football history than to have a great trivia question that pertains to our every Saturday release topic of Western Pennsylvania football history? Well, my friend, historian Adam Conley, recently posted this trivia question to me in a discussion we were having about Western Pennsylvania football history. Now, Adam asked if I knew that there were two Western Pennsylvania quarterbacks, both having a middle name shared by a Roman emperor, that played for a team that lost in Super Bowl games to starting quarterbacks in opposition that were also from the west side of the Keystone State. I have to admit, I scratched my head a little bit, and I pondered, and I guessed, and it was a poor guess. And boy, did I feel silly when he gave me the answer. You probably have the answers out there because you're much wiser than this podcast host is. But his answer, and the correct answer, is Daniel Constantine Marino, who played for Pitt in college and Pittsburgh Central Catholic in high school. He lost Super Bowl 19 with the Miami Dolphins to the San Francisco 49ers and their signal caller, Joe Montana, who hails from Ringgold High School in Carroll, Pennsylvania. The other quarterback was Johnny Constantine Unitas, a St. Justin's High School in Pittsburgh grad, and also played for the Steelers for a small stint. And we'll talk about that in about a week from now. And he was a member of the Colts who lost Super Bowl III to New York Jets that were led by Joe Willie Namath, the former signal caller, Halls High School in the Pittsburgh area. I thought this was a brilliant trivia question and a great introduction to start the conversation about some quarterback legends, the four I just mentioned, in great history of Western Pennsylvania and great contributions to great football. And on the docket in this episode is Dan Marino. And we'll start it this week for very good reason, because I think it's a very quite and fitting time to talk about Marino as this 2022 NFL draft is underway here. And at the time I'm recording this, it's the Friday just after round one was picked the evening before round two. And there's an uncanny parallel brewing that resembles the 1983 draft where Marino from the University of Pittsburgh was taken as the 27th overall pick by Don Shula and the Miami Dolphins. Now, the memories of this historic day were rekindled when the Pittsburgh Steelers selected Kenny Pickett, another great quarterback from Pitt that had just completed a great collegiate career where he broke a few of the man's records with the Panthers. And he was picked as the 20th overall selection in the 2022 draft by the Steelers. Now, a flashback of 39 years earlier in the 1983 draft, were that the Steelers, who were picking 21st in that draft in the 80s, did not choose the stellar quarterback from their own backyard in Dan Marino. And the Steelers fans still regret this in a way, because Marino played so very well at the NFL level and was so underappreciated coming out of college. We'll talk about that in a second for some reasons why. Now, getting into the history of Dan Marino, he played his scholastic football at Pittsburgh Central Catholic, as we mentioned, where he graduated in 1979. At the high school level, according to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette newspaper, Marino completed 60 of 173 passes for 1,596 yards and 16 touchdowns just during his senior season. That's pretty good numbers for a high schooler. And because of those lofty numbers, he was selected as the Parade Magazine All-American that year for his senior season. The year before, as a junior, he completed 81 of 161 passes for 1,080 yards and 10 touchdowns. And as you can imagine, colleges were clamoring for Marino to attend their school to play football. Now, however, football scouts and coaches from universities were not the only ones to trying to recruit the 6'4" athlete. Now, Marino was a heck of a baseball player, too, in high school, and the Kansas City Royals tried to lure him into their farm system before college, and they even picked him fourth in one of the supplemental drafts for the minor leagues. Now, as mentioned, the talented signal caller chose his hometown Pitt Panthers as the place to play football in college. He had to give up on the baseball dream a little bit. And what a great choice it was, because he was such an excellent quarterback. Now, things started off pretty good, too, when, as a freshman in 1979, Marino led the Panthers to a 24-17 triumph over nearby West Virginia in a game called the Backyard Brawl. Now, Dan also orchestrated a Panthers last-minute victory over the Georgia Bulldogs in the 1982 Sugar Bowl by tossing the game-winning pass to tight end John Brown with less than a minute remaining. Those are the things that dreams of are made of. You know, when you're a kid, you're planning that in the big game, and you're throwing that last-ditch pass to win the game in the last minute. Well, Dan Marino lived that dream. Now, the Panthers fell in the next season's postseason at the 1983 Cotton Bowl Classic in a heartbreaking 7-3 defensive struggle, a loss to Southern Methodist and their Pony Express backfield of Eric Dickerson and Craig James. Now, can you imagine, with all that offensive talent between those two teams on the field, they would only score a total of 10 points, with SMU winning 7-3. Now, during Dan's senior season, he had what many considered an off year. Now, perhaps, you know, hurting his draft stock, and it probably did. The youngster finished ninth in the voting for the Heisman Trophy in 1982, after finishing fourth in the previous year of the very coveted trophies award. Now, rumors swirled and damaged his readiness to play football. Now, stories of knee injuries hampering his mobility and possibly personal dependency issues made his value to NFL teams just plummet. Five other quarterbacks, including Hall of Famers John Elway and Jim Kelly, along with, you know, great starters in Todd Blackledge, Ken O'Brien, and Tenney Eason, were drafted ahead of Marino. But Don Shula, though, knew talent, and he was delighted when the Panther quarterback was still available at the Miami first-round pick at number 27 overall. Now, some might not realize this, but Dan Marino was the first draft pick in the history of the original United States Football League. Dan was selected by the Los Angeles Express in the USFL's inaugural year, but he declined their offer and he wanted to play in the NFL and went to play with the Dolphins. In that first season in Miami, he started the season as a backup to veteran David Woodley, the starting quarterback from the prior year. And Marino was given his first NFL start in Week 6 of 1983 when the Finns played the Buffalo Bills, a divisional rival. The Buffalo won the contest in a shootout that went into overtime by the score of 38-35. And as a rookie, Marino set several records as he posted a 96.0 passer rating and was selected to the Pro Bowl as a rookie. And Dan had the lowest percentage of passes interception and was the only rookie quarterback to lead a conference in passing, and he had the highest passing completion percentage. In his second season, Well, he followed up pretty well, and he avoided that old sophomore jinx to break six NFL full-season passing records. Among them were the most touchdown passes in a season, 48, which lasted for 20 seasons, and eventually was broken by Peyton Manning in 2004, and then soon after that, Tom Brady, the GOAT, broke that record. Most passing yards in a season, 5,084, and that record stood for 27 years until it was eventually broken by Drew Brees in 2011. He had 9 300-yard passing games, 4 400-yard passing games. Now, those are just some tremendous records. Remember, he's only in his second year in the National Football League. And that young ball slinger led his South Florida team to Super Bowl 19, where Marino and the Dolphins faced off against the powerful San Francisco 49ers and Joe Montana in the Stanford Stadium. Unbelievably, this would be Dan Marino's only trip to the Super Bowl during his entire career as a player. And the Niners triumphed 38-16 in this big game. And it looked like, you know, Marino was going to be heading there all the time. That's why it's so surprising that he only played in that one game. Kind of a sad thing. One of the great players that never won a Super Bowl. Now, after 18 great NFL seasons, just before the 2000 season commenced, Marino decided to retire when the Dolphins declined in re-signing him. And Marino, he ended up being suited by other NFL teams, declining offers from teams like the Minnesota Vikings, which he later admitted to he strongly considered. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Pittsburgh Steelers also were calling for his services to come to their team. According to the Pro Football Reference, Dan Marino's career stats were 61,361 total career passing yards with a 59.4 completion percentage, 420 touchdown tosses, 252 interceptions, and an overall record as a starter of 147, 93, and 0 ties. His quick release is still noted this day as a standard that all NFL quarterbacks are measured up to. And Dan soon found himself with another job on television as an NFL analyst with CBS after he hung up his helmet. Now, Marino is not only remembered for his brilliant play, but this guy collected some hardware along the way during his career. We told you he was Parade Magazine's Player of the Year on that in high school. He went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, enshrined him in 2005. College Football Hall of Fame inducted him in 2002. He was the NFL's Most Valuable Player Award in 1984, and he had 3 All-Pro selections. He was voted to the Pro Bowl 9 times. The 1984 Associated Press NFL Offensive Player of the Year, 1984 Burt Bell Award Player of the Year, 1994 PFWA Comeback Player of the Year, and the 1998 Walter Payton Man of the Year. Just some tremendous accolades from a great player and another excellent football product from Western Pennsylvania and Dan Marino. So we sure glad that you joined us here for another edition as we celebrate my area that I've grown up in and lived in all my life in Western PA and some of the great contributions of football. And we bring you football history here on Pigskin Dispatch, not only about Western PA, but we bring you football history from all around at all levels of football right here on Pigskin Dispatch daily with new episodes coming out 365 days a year. And we're sure glad that you joined us here. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow, and we'll bring you some more great history. Until then, have a great gridiron day.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, it's found right here on the Sports History Network.